Hey there, oh there, you're listening to Super Tool Shed, the only podcast on the internet to be legally classified a natural disaster. I'm Bennett the Sage, this is Mark the Engineer, and today's subject is a veritable grab bag of nerddom. From the new Bioshock to the new Wolverine trailer, our existence as a podcast is now justified. But before that, let's get to the pleasantries out of the way. Mark, how was your 2 weeks?
I want to preface this by saying that no matter how many times you ask me this, it's always going to be some bullshit response followed by the actual response. So I'm just going to scuttle under the normal bullshit response. However, I will say that you are way too goddamn happy when you start this podcast.
Well, I figured that the best way to intro this podcast every 2 weeks is, you know, best foot forward, a little energetic, you know, hype it up a little bit.
Seriously, man, you couldn't be more energetic if somebody blew coke straight up your asshole.
Don't talk about my Thursday nights.
Funny. All right, so in the last 2 weeks, well, let's talk about yesterday. I went to Castle Point Anime Convention, which is in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, one of the twin jewels of New Jersey's crown.
Every time I drive there, which this is, I can't really say every time, this is the second time I've ever been to Hoboken. First off, Hoboken, pave your goddamn roads. Holy shit. Seriously, Hoboken is just one big pothole. And you know, before you get there, you kind of know that the place is going to be fucked when they make a joke about it on Megas XLR. Like, screw
it. It's a New Jersey show. Of course they're going to make a Hoboken joke.
Well, there's that part in Megas where Coop wants to get the Mega Slush, and there's the last Mega Slush machine, and Jamie's like, it's not worth it, man. And it's like, you could, like, there's always Hoboken. And then Coop goes, yeah, but it's Hoboken. And he's right. He's totally right. I would sooner fight a giant monster for something completely innocuous and stupid than go for that completely innocuous and stupid thing in Hoboken, New Jersey, period. But to the con, one day, college campus convention, and honestly, nicest one I've been to. I've been to a few in my time, these one-day events that are put together by college students, and I'm assuming subsidized by many, many, many tuitions. But this was the nicest one I've ever been to. The campus was lovely. The weather was great. The staff was fantastic. The con chair, she was very, very nice. And the guy who was shuttling me and Kyle Hebert and Mike McFarland around, his name is Keith, and very cool guy. He was I run into him at Anime Next, actually. He staffs there too, and I wasn't officially a guest there. I just kind of showed up because I only usually get to see Hebert like once a year, maybe, so I figured it was worth a 2-hour drive, show up. But they did hand me a guest badge, which was very cool of them. Didn't have to ask either. They just, I show up, and Kyle's like, yeah, my friend Mark's here. And then, boom, guest badge. Didn't even have to ask for one.
Oh, that's actually very cool. Actually, now that you're talking about college campus conventions, I guess I'll use this time to announce that I will be returning to Alcon in Leicester, England, this coming September, first week of September. I'll put a link in the description at the bottom of this podcast for you all to follow. I was there last year. And outside of the traveling there, that's a different story for another time. Let's just suffice it to say that if you're going to travel to England, be sure to put your occupation in the little slip, okay?
Spread your cheeks and lift your sack. I don't know what's going on. No, you heard me. Spread your cheeks and lift your sack. It's like, oh, God.
And call me daddy.
And then you're going to say, ooh, what a lovely tea party.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, outside of the traveling, it was a very nice convention. Kind of small, you know, like I think it's about 1,000-person attendee kind of deal. But the people behind it could not be more enthusiastic about it. The town, you know, I'll say this. Arriving in Leicester made me feel for the first time since arriving in England that I truly felt like I was in a different country. I mean, if you go to London, it just feels like outside of like the signs and the traffic lights, you could be in any big city in America. And big cities usually feel that way, isn't it? Like once you're around big, tall buildings, everywhere looks the same.
Yeah, I can definitely jive with that, except for Hoboken, because the water is right there. And you can see New York from Hoboken. It's really, actually, the hotel we have is fucking amazing because you could see like straight across the water.
That's almost like taunting it, actually. It's like, yeah, you're in Hoboken, but you could be in New York. It's just across the water.
No, because fuck that. Because usually I take the Lincoln Tunnel. Here's how it works. It's that from Philadelphia to New York goes like this. An hour and 40 minutes down the New Jersey Turnpike, and that costs about $11 and $12 in tolls. And then it's, welcome to New York, welcome to the Lincoln Tunnel. That'll be another $8. Oh, come on! And then when you leave, it's, well, thank you for leaving New York. We really don't need any more population here. You know what? In exchange, you don't have to pay to get through the Lincoln Tunnel to go back. Awesome. Leave. Get off the turnpike. That's another $12. And then Jersey gets you because they're like, oh, you want to leave New Jersey? It'll be $5.
It's like an old movie concession stand. Free to get in, pay to get out.
Seriously, totally free to get into New Jersey. It is absolutely $5 if you want to leave. Elsewise, you can't escape New Jersey.
That's why I like the West Coast. Toll roads are not a thing here. You crossing bridges, yeah, that's a toll, but...
But to get back to the point, yeah, like, once you kind of are in a built-up area, it's just sort of buildings. You look up and there's buildings, and every city has its own little flavor of building. But for the most part, you're right. When you get to, like, major metropolitan areas, it's like, and this is buildings, and that's buildings. And, like, but when you get to a place like Leicester, it's like, wow, I could steamroll this whole place and be considered a terrorist.
Well, I wouldn't call it like that, but, like, there was old brick house facades and... you know, really old, worn bridges over the tributaries around the city. It really felt like I was in the old world, to borrow a phrase.
It wasn't in keeping with our rustic aesthetic.
Actually,
the greater good.
The greater good. Yeah, fucking Hot Fuzz reference, blah, blah, blah. But I will say that the biggest, you know, like, head jerk moment is rustic buildings that are like old brick facades. The street corners, you know, like the street names are actually nailed to the sides of the buildings. They're not on like signposts or anything. They're actually on the corners of buildings, which throws you for a loop if you're not anywhere, if you don't live in the area and you're trying to figure out what street you're on. It's like, why aren't there any signposts? Oh, what the fuck is on the buildings? And they're all like bronzed over because I think they were made out of like brass or something, and they kind of like degraded over time. They look like they've been nailed since like the 19th century.
See, if you watched more BBC shows, this would not be at all surprising to you. But instead, you get to go over there and be like, I don't know what things about your strange country. Please tell me, I am fat American tourist.
I am fat American tourist that has this accent for some reason.
Can't explain it,
but all right, rustic buildings and everything. Trendy shops inside, like old bricks, like old brick facade, but inside is like a cupcake factory. Like you could just order like confectionery cupcakes. It's like, what? It's like, I didn't travel all the way to another country just to experience another Healdsburg. For those of you who don't know, Healdsburg is a very trendy town, vineyards and shit like that. Okay, that joke played better in my head just because I live in the area. Okay, fuck you.
If only you had more domestic fans. Love you, European fans. Hey, all you folks in Europe that constantly comment on Anime Abandoned, we love you guys.
We do. So that's why we make jokes tailor-made for you.
Although we haven't made a single one yet.
They're coming, I assure you. But yes, I'll be going to Alcon again, along with Little Karibo and Doug Walker. Yes, that guy with the glasses.
How come I don't get to go to Alcon? I want to go to Alcon.
Well, they're trying to, you know, it's a college, you know, it's a college convention, man. You can't expect them to spring for everyone.
Yeah, but I'm awesome.
I know you're awesome.
Remember Benetopia? Who did that? Who did that, Bennett?
You're the one who made Benetopia. I will fully give you the credit on that one.
Yeah, who made the new intro, Bennett?
You did.
And the emblem that resembles your head, who made that?
I'm telling you right now, your awesomeness is not in question here. It's the fact that Alcon just can't bring you over, okay? Jesus.
Nope, I don't jive with that at all. People, get me to a con. Get me to a con with Bennett so that I can terrorize him in person. It has to happen. I don't want to go to a con for me. I want to go to a con with you to terrorize you, because you keep coming into my home via Skype and you force me to do this damn podcast. And that's all well and good, but no matter what, when you say, okay, I'm ready to record, whether I'm tired or I'm completely beat to shit or I'm in the middle of something, probably for you, I've got to drop everything I'm doing, do this fucking podcast, be funny for nearly 2 hours, then edit the bastard, then send it to you, and then wait another 2 weeks for this whole bullshit cycle to happen all over again. I'm in hell. That's where I am, all right? Super Tool Shed is really super knock the fucking screws right into Mark's goddamn dome. Not screw the screws into his dome, knock them with a hammer, because that way it'll hurt more. That's where we are. That is where we are.
Apparently, one of my flicked peanut shells hit him in the eye right now.
God damn it. All right, so we've done the banter. Fuck the banter. Fuck you. Fuck you. That's... Let me tell you about my best friend who won't leave me the fuck alone and keeps asking me for shit. Where's that song? God damn it.
I feel like I'm an Opie and Anthony the way I'm laughing.
Oh, fucking God. All right. Move on.
Banter,
go.
Banter over.
Banter section over.
Want to talk Wolverine trailer?
Yeah, let's talk about the new Wolverine game.
Trailer game. Oh, I see what you did there.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Okay, so the from what little details, well, some details we can gather from the trailer, it looks like, all right, get ready, you guys, Logan's going to lose his powers. Oh.
And you want to know why? It's because Wolverine suffers kind of, sort of, from the Superman problem, where it's like, okay, short of some dude whose power is to carry around an atom smasher, which really, even then, you hit him with the Atom Smasher, and then you gotta go get fucking Ant-Man and be like, yo, Hank, go find that last atom of Logan and beat the shit out of it. You just can't kill the dude, so he's too powerful, and you can't get behind a dude who's too powerful, and Wolverine is kind of... The more they make Wolverine talk, the less you're interested in him. You just kind of want him to come in and be like, what's up, bub? Snicked, and then just fucking cut fuckers, and that does not a movie make. So instead they go for this whole Wolverine got a debuff and now you've got a Metroid style get your way through this movie and get your powers back, which, that made a really good Wolverine game the last time around, because the Wolverine X-Men Origins game was fantastic while the movie was really subpar. But
subpar, I think you're giving that movie too much credit, my friend.
Shut up.
Come on! All right. I hate that movie for one reason only. Yes, it's a poorly made film. That's a given. But I hate that film for what they did to Gambit, my favorite mutant.
Yeah, I know. That was not very fun.
That was not fun at all. Like, I don't give a shit what they did to Deadpool, all right? I was never a Deadpool fanboy. Yeah, he's fun, but there's way too much of him. And actually, if I could be perfectly frank, what they did to Deadpool kind of made me laugh a little bit. It's like, oh my God, they're just shattering Deadpool's fans' hearts.
They did. Nobody was happy, and Ryan Reynolds is still like, oh, let's do a Deadpool movie. And everybody's kind of like, yeah, if so long as it's the Zombieland guy's writing it, sure, do a Deadpool movie. And then Ryan Reynolds is now, hot shit, so it's like, oh, sorry, I got to do this serious movie. Sorry, I got to do this movie. And somewhere deep down inside, he does want to do that Deadpool movie, and that comes through in all his interviews, but God damn it, it's not really going to happen, so fuck it. But... honestly, the Wolverine, which, God, with these fucking titles, X-Men Origins Wolverine, and now it's just The Wolverine. Is the next movie just going to be called Wolverine or Wolvie? Yeah, the third in the Wolverine trilogy is just called Wolvie.
No, it's going to be called Logan.
Logan / Jimmy.
No, actually, that'll be like John Carter all over again. Yes, and like two tickets to Jimmy.
To Jimmy. I'd like two tickets to James Howlett, please.
James Howlett, knife hand.
Oh, my God. But the trailer, it looks exciting as all hell, because, you know, any excuse to get Wolverine into Japan, I guess, and then retcon where Lady Deathstrike comes from, I suppose. Maybe. I don't fucking know what they're trying to do, because, see, this is all Singer's fucking fault. First he had to go and ruin Superman, and now he's come back to salvage the franchise that got ruined by fucking Ratner and company. So,
you could say that, like, the guy behind First Class saved it before Singer is trying to salvage it. I think
Singer,
it's actually
Singer was in the background, though. He was in the background of First Class going, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. No, yes, do that, do that, do that. Like, he was very Bruce Timm, and so it's like whispering in the people's ears, like, no, I'm not in the pit anymore, but I'm still making decisions. So even ever so secretly, because I think Singer got an EP credit on X-Men Origins. But I'm not excited by this trailer. Like I always get a tingle in the nerd balls when something's like genuinely exciting. Like the Kick-Ass 2 trailer is phenomenal. That shit just looks fun.
Yeah, you got a dog on your balls.
Yeah, like that shit just looks amazingly fun. But Wolverine doesn't look fun. It doesn't look fucking exciting. It looks like just more of Hugh Jackman running around going, ah! And, you know, screaming at the top of his lungs and lunging at people. And you would argue that, well, that's what a Wolverine movie is supposed to be. But my argument is that, you know, there's a lot of good stories that be done with Wolverine, but the X-Men movie universe doesn't quite work anymore. It's getting really clunky. The teeth are coming off the gears, and eventually it's just going to be fucking smooth and nothing's going to move. So I don't know what to do about it, except for, because I want to say, like, oh yeah, vote with your dollars, just don't go. But I don't hate this trailer. I just find it to be very meh. Like, who the fuck cares? Like, this doesn't make me care about Wolverine. Like, oh god, Wolverine lost his powers. Big fuck.
So you're saying, like, this trailer is sort of indicative of how, like, Hollywood is sort of treating superhero films, in a sense? Like, they're through the distillation process, and now they're just kind of searching for things that characters to do.
Well, Iron Man 3 doesn't make me feel that way. Like, the trailers for Iron Man 3 and all the TV spots for Iron Man 3 are fucking amazing. Every single thing they've shown you is amazing, and at no point ever has Iron Man suffered from that problem where it's like, oh, we saw all the good shit in the trailer, there's nothing left in the movie. You know, they always either, you know, make something up that's just really cool and hit the cutting room floor, which pisses some people off, like, that was in the trailer but it wasn't in the movie, that just suckered me into getting in here.
Oh god, like the Warriors way in that line of, like, ninjas, damn great trailer line, not in the movie.
And, you know, sometimes that shit just happens. But you know what? It does its job. It makes you really excited. And sometimes maybe trailers should be, maybe they should just be exciting on their own. Just have that extra bit of footage that's not going to make it into the movie because it'll make it exactly 30 seconds too long. I don't really have a problem with that, because then that's an extra 30 seconds of shit that I get to see that maybe not be in the theater, but I saw it. It's fun. It'll end up on the DVD anyway. So I don't really see the harm in that. But the Iron Man 3 stuff, like all the promo stuff for that, I feel amazingly excited for Iron Man. Fucking Ben Kingsley. God,
let's face it. At least Ben Kingsley is cast as the straight up villain instead of as the secret villain.
Yeah.
So, like, Ben Kingsley, you see him in a movie, and all right, the only movie I've ever seen Ben Kingsley in that, look, he looked like the villain, but he wasn't the villain, was fucking Shutter Island.
Yeah.
And that was the point of the film, of Shutter Island.
Yeah, but every other time, like Prince of Persia, oh, he's not the bad guy. He's totally the bad guy. Come on.
Oh, come on, he was totally the bad guy in Gandhi.
Yeah. That's terrible. But Wolverine doesn't have that same sort of appeal. Like, there's nothing. He doesn't say anything cool. He doesn't really do anything cool. You just kind of see him get hurt and look sad and lunge at shit and scream. Like, that's the Wolverine trailer. Like, yeah, I'm real totally fucking excited for that. Let me tell you.
Can I say this? I saw Iron Man 1 just recently. Haven't seen Iron Man in, like, since it first came out in 2008, wasn't it? 2008? Yeah. For the first time. And I actually liked it better than I remember liking it the first time. Then I watched Iron Man 2 again and didn't like it as much. And I just was amazed with myself with this sort of disparity. And I couldn't really put my finger on it. Why? like what happened to each film that made me like it more and like it less, respectively.
Well, I would say that the first one was done with love by Favreau. The second one was done with a stick up Favreau's ass that said Marvel on it. It said, Marvel says, get it done. You know, and that's how they treated Favreau, which is why it is that Favreau says, I want a whole lot more money if you're going to try and do that to me again. And they went, no, we're Marvel. We're cheap and broke. And he's like, fine, I'm not going to direct your fucking movie. And now Disney's cutting the check, so whatever.
That ain't... There ain't no problem there.
Yeah, but I just feel like with the combination of Wolverine and now Days of Future Past, which is, I'm wondering, I've been debating with people for like the last 2 weeks on how Days of Future Past is going to work, because they can't have Nimrod. They've never shown a single fucking Sentinel. So they can't be like, this is Nimrod, the ultimate Sentinel. What's a Sentinel? What the fuck is a Sentinel that you just made the ultimate Sentinel? So let's see. They never shown a Sentinel, so they can't really use Nimrod properly. They never really went for human supremacists in the X-Men universe ever. If you, the audience, or you, Bennett, have never noticed, like throughout every single X-Men film, there's never really been actual human supremacists. There's never been like a Friends of Humanity. People who are like marching with torches and pitchforks and upside down swastikas going like, no more mutants. You know, there's no fucking Creed. No, he's not my father. I'm normal. Like none of that shit. So
you are not my father. You are not my father. Oh, God. I haven't thought about that moment since I was a kid.
Fantastic fucking performance on that guy's part, too.
For a kid's show, too.
For a kid's show. Just with fucking like the Sabretooth hologram walking around, and he just has a complete mental break. I'm normal. But yeah, so they don't go for Creed, so that means that there's no Friends of Humanity, which means that there's no reason to have a legacy virus, because the whole legacy virus thing was supposed to be that, you know, it's like, oh, like mutants are carrying AIDS. And then, of course, it actually does mutate, and it infects everybody and fucks up the future, and then Cable. So, like, that's my whole idea of the Marvel Days of Future Past storyline. It's like, Friends of Humanity, legacy virus mutates, fucks up the future, and Cable. That's the whole thing. And then Bishop shows up to round it out, because they just didn't have enough black people with guns. So I don't know how it is that they're going to roll with Days of Future Past. I mean, are they going to do fucking Old Man Logan? Are they going to go with Bishop? Are they going to, like, what the fuck are they going to do? Or is it just a title? Is it just a bullshit title to make fans go like, ooh, Days of Future Past. Maybe fucking Cable's going to show up and, you know, nothing. Or like, would they go so far as to have the assassination of Xavier, which doesn't quite make sense, because Xavier in the main, like, unless they're going to retcon it that Xavier didn't die, but Famke Janssen is still Phoenix, which means that Professor Xavier is still dead. So, what the shit? I give up.
I'm guessing it's just going to be a title. It's just going to be a title. There's just way too much backstory for the X-Men universe that has not been in the movies for them to try to pull this off.
And that's what makes me very interested to see when they finally do produce a trailer for Days of Future Past. Like, I want to see, like, completely, like, post-apocalyptic future and fucking, you know, like, humans and, like, and fucking mutants in camps and shit, and just this really dark, super dark X-Men film. But they've never gone full tilt with X-Men, ever. They've never gone for the whole, like, you know, mutants correlate to, you know, people who are different in general, but generally speaking, gays and Jews. So, like, that's what the X-Men are.
That's what the X-Men are. And I can't believe that they would make a Days of Future Past movie and not have the absolute, and not have the gall to put in Apocalypse.
Yeah, that wouldn't be, because they haven't even like hinted at, there's no overarching thing in the X-Men movie universe in the same way that there's been in Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, and, you know, like penultimately the Avengers, where it's like, oh shit, Thanos is coming. So there's never been that in X-Men. And, you know, maybe had Singer been more of a comic book fan, since he's always the first one to go, I'm not a comic book fan, I'm a fan of good movies. Like, well, that's really good, Brian. But we all saw that there was going to be a really big franchise out of this. So maybe you should have had an end game.
Maybe.
Because Joss has an end game and it's making you look like clown shoes, brother. So there's never been that overarching thing. So there's never going to be maybe there'll be an Apocalypse, but they're going to like really like ham hand him in there, probably in the same way that they ham handed fucking Phoenix in there with that bullshit Parasite Eve ending, which I say that because if you haven't seen the live action Parasite Eve movie, go watch it, then watch X3 and tell me that somebody didn't watch the fucking movie and then just lift it straight out of Parasite Eve and dump it into X3.
It's like Kimba the White Lion on The Lion King.
Exactly. It really is just like this shot for shot, like girl with phenomenal power screaming and crying and go away and stop moving and blah. Yeah, like that whole scene is in the live action Parasite Eve movie.
And for those of you who didn't know there was a live action Parasite Eve movie,
go find it. It's still fucking Amazon. I don't give two shits where you go watch it. Just go watch it. It's weird and kind of cool. Nothing like the video game. It's based on the book, just so you know now. Like, just in advance, there's no Cerberus. There's no gigantic T-Rex. It's just the book. Statement about how it is that human beings have no natural predator. So, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got on Wolverine and the Marvel Universe in general, because at this point, the next turn of the key is going to be Iron Man, I think, for me, personally.
Yeah, probably. But before we leave this subject, we have to say, that was the stupidest fucking bed of nails prop thing that guy was laying on. What the hell was that?
I don't fucking know. Like, okay, I get the idea that they're supposed that, you know, it's supposed to be that it's moving him around, I guess, while also having, you know, like proper support in the same way that like one of those little toys can create the image of your hand with a million little pins.
You kind of went a little high on that one. Little
shut pins. Because I've been screaming. Why don't you try voiceover for a while, dickhead? But yeah, like I get that the idea that I guess that the pins themselves are like motorized or hydraulic, so there's no actual spine of the bed necessarily, that the whole thing is just sectioned off so that he can kind of sit up and face people when he's talking to them. I just don't understand. Like, really, it's just cool looking technology for its own sake. Like, it has no real purpose. Like, if we focus too much on that, then eventually we're just going to end up talking about Rugen Z.
Eventually. But I got to say, like, cool-looking technology, really? That's supposed to look cool? It kind of looks like a gag that IKEA built just to see if Americans will buy it.
And it's called substantial flash of stribby. Like, okay. So how much is that?
It's ergonomically designed.
It's ergonomically designed in order to make you look like a complete cunt. And you will buy it.
And you will buy it.
This is the part of Sprock, it's where we dance. All right. So, but what's next?
The next is, I don't know how involved you'll be in the conversation, but just like the Wolverine trailer was your platform to speak your mind about, the way Marvel movies are going. Right now is my little platform to talk about BioShock Infinite. I got this game a week after it was released. There was a sort of a scheduling snafu between me and the site, so I got the game late, and at that point I just figured, well, I can't really make a review of it and have it be very timely. At that point, anyone who would have played it has already played it. And I figured, what could I add with a review that hasn't already been said? So I figured that I was going to play the game either way, just for my own amusement. And I wanted to talk about it. And I'll say this as a fan, a big fan of BioShock. And as someone who felt really, really angry at BioShock 2 because of its needlessness, BioShock Infinite is I really haven't formed a very concrete, like, solid, do I really, really love this or do I just like this kind of opinion. I don't hate it. I'm not like Spoonie. I don't have sand in my vagina when it comes to this game like he does. But I just, I like this game, but there's some things that are keeping me from loving it. Like, I loved the original BioShock. And really what it all comes down to is that the gameplay just can't measure up to the original BioShock. I felt like the plasmids were way better utilized in the original BioShock. I loved being able to use telekinesis and using that kind of, and using those tactics around telekinesis. That's what made the game for me as far as gameplay wise. But there was just nothing like that in BioShock Infinite. All the plasmids just felt very one dimensional. Yes, you could combine plasmids, but there doesn't seem like a very satisfactory reason why you want to. And I felt like that just kind of hindered from the game. And as far as the story is concerned, I think that's the huge that's the huge tipping point between people who really love it and people who are just like, really? Come on! Well, and that's a lot of responses from what I've been gathering. It's a lot of come on in the fan base.
Well, that whole the whole plasmid system from the first game. I mean, really, this is indicative. This is a problem of any kind of like dial H for hero sort of system, like you get anything you want if you just dial H for hero, is that everybody kind of expects this Borderlands type combat system where it's, you know, like here's name A with attribute B and modifier C, and it works in Borderlands because essentially everything does the same thing. You know, I have my hurdy splatter gun, or I have, you know, my unilateral FaceTime or something like that. That, you know, like you have A, B, C, I guess it's like, what is it? A, B, C, D, and E. It's like a maximum of 5 modifiers per gun, which is about 80 billion combinations, exactly 80 billion combinations on the wheel. But when you scale that type of system down and it's okay, well, I have plasmid A with modifier B and C, it never quite works out the way that you want it. Although, because your imagination is always going to be a little bit bigger than the guys who are designing the system. Like, okay, I have bees and pyrokinesis with corrosion. So now I have fire acid bees, you know, because I always thought that was funny. And like, I can summon bees. What part of telekinesis lets me summon bees? this weird plasmid that has Eddie Izzard's face on it, like covered in bees.
Well, they replaced that in this game with crows. I mean, it's the same point. It's like what the bees do in the original BioShock, the crows do in Infinite. They kind of disrupt the enemy's attack patterns and they leave them vulnerable and they take more damage. But I love telekinesis because it was such a multi-use plasmid. Like, you could catch projectiles, hurl them back. You could also launch missiles, as it were, using telekinesis. It was just a plain old, it was just very useful, and it felt like you were really interacting with the environment. But because they took telekinesis out, it felt like there was a huge part of the game that was missing. It didn't feel as interactive as the first BioShock was.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, was that Infinite could never live up to the original, because the original came out of left field. Nobody saw it coming with the first trailer, and because the first trailer had no music, none. And everything was dark, and I chose Rapture. And, you know, like, you fight the fucking Big Daddy, and dude loses and gets the shit drilled out of him, but you're, like, watching him die in first person. And nobody saw it. Like, and really, they managed to take that 60 seconds and just repeat it over and over and over again for the entire span of the original BioShock, with the addition of, you know, the denizens of Rapture are all batshit crazy and sort of weird. And then, of course, there's Would You Kindly.
And let's say this. I'm going to put a spoiler warning at the top of this. Putting a spoiler warning right now. If you haven't played BioShock Infinite, I'll put right now, I'll put like a skip to this part of the program. So
we're going
to
play some really kitschy music for about 10 seconds, and then we're going to get into super spoiler territory, starting now. Mm.
Okay, so I'll say this. The twist in Bioshock Infinite didn't measure up to, like, the twist in the original Bioshock, where, you know, in Bioshock, it was about, like, removing the illusion of control you thought you had over Jack. It was about, you know, like, oh my god, you thought you were in control? Nope, you were just doing whatever the fuck Fontaine told you.
Would you kindly kill the puppy?
Which, you know... It was a great meta commentary about, like, the nature of choice in gaming. And I felt like when I first saw that, it was, like, one of the very first times I've ever been legitimately surprised by a game's twist.
You know what? Just to put a pin in that for a second, I kind of wish that the guys at BioWare, when everyone was freaking out about Mass Effect 3, if their only public response was Bioshock. Like, what's all this bullshit? I had to make a million decisions. Bioshock. Would you kindly shut up? Bioshock. Continue.
Continue, exactly. Now, with Bioshock Infinite, the twist is... Okay, complicated to talk about because it's about, like, the nature of multi-dimensions and whatever. Like, if you understand, like, what the game is talking about and the fact that there are many different worlds that exist, but with only one constant, a lighthouse with a city and a man... and like everything else is only differed by like the very minute changes here and there. But like the whole crux of the plot is one minor difference leads to like this huge major difference, which kind of betrays what it was the setup. But you know, like that's just me, my personal feelings on it. Like, okay, if fucking Booker goes through with the baptism, then he becomes Comstock. Okay, all right, if Booker doesn't, he just continues on his self-destructive ways, then the Comstock version of himself will come looking for him to take his daughter away, because he needs a miracle daughter to help his people believe that he really is the prophet. Okay, I get the setup. Now, some people are kind of crying foul at the whole notion of, like, him accepting religion turns him evil, and I don't think that's really true. I think... him accepting religion is just masking his own problems that he's not really addressing. Because both versions of himself, both Booker and Comstock, are not really facing what he did at Wounded Knee. They're just denying it through, well, with Booker's case, by drinking and gambling and not really facing it. And with Comstock, by just pretending that he has the virtue, like he is virtuous and he has God on his side.
Wait. So is the hero and the villain the same guy?
Technically speaking, yes, but they're multi-versions of themselves.
Oh, fuck that. That's infamous. What? You are complaining about a game that seriously just lifted the story, the main fucking villain from Infamous. They just lifted that guy.
Well, it's not exactly the same. The premise is the same, though.
Yeah, the premise is the same, and the execution is slightly different. You know what? If you're pissed off about Bioshock Infinite, go play the original Infamous if you haven't already. And I may have kind of spoiled it for you, but the road there... See, this is one of those times where the journey is fucking worth it.
Oh, yeah. I love the original Infamous. I love that open world game. That was... I think that is my favorite open world game.
It's the only one that I play, because I don't really like Grand Theft Auto anymore, because there's just something about it where, like, I kind of like to have boundaries, and Grand Theft Auto is just way too limitless in a certain respect, but Infamous just kind of snagged me really good. And fuck it, since we're in the spoiler shell, God, what was the fucking villain's name?
Comstock.
No, Infamous.
Oh, in Infamous, Oh, I'm blanking on that.
They all have, they're a bunch of dudes with powers, and the leader who has like the best fucking power happens to have electrical powers, just like you. And what makes this brilliant, because fuck this Comstock Bioshock Infinite bullshit, is that there's something coming that's kind of been heralded by the race sphere, which gave you your powers in the first place. And this guy who's been terrorizing you, who killed your girlfriend, no matter what choice you try and fucking make, he totally killed your girlfriend. And just doing all of this shit to you, it turns out that it's Cole, the main character, having used his ultimate power. Like, one day you're going to be so powerful that for some reason electrical powers let you go back in time.
Play with it. Just go with it.
Just go with it. And he decided that since he spent so much time running away from the Beast, which is the thing that's heralded by the race sphere, which resulted in him and his girlfriend and his son getting killed, or his son or daughter, his kid getting killed, that he was going to use his power to go back in time and toughen himself up at the expense of great suffering so that when the Beast did show up, he'd whoop its ass. But even though I just told you all of this, every little twist and turn that happens in Infamous on the good guy side of the story, and because I think it's actually free now with PlayStation Plus, it's amazing. Like, it really hooks you. And then when this thing happens, you just didn't see it coming. And even if someone had told me, like, oh yeah, this guy is totally Cole from the future, I wouldn't have believed it. And I still kind of can't believe it. Like, it was kind of the best fucking hat trick I've ever seen somebody pull in a while. And Sucker Punch did it really good. And they managed to not, you know, go through that same trope in Infamous 2 where it's like, okay, and now it's good Cole from the future. No, they just let it go after that.
I could definitely see your anger with Infamous and fucking Bioshock Infinite. But I think that, like, the first twist that the story threw at you, like, Elizabeth is your daughter, is Booker's daughter. I felt like if the game had stopped with that, that would have been fine. They're like, this is your daughter, but Comstock took her while she was a baby. The way you dealt with it was the fact that you just distanced yourself. Like, she's not your daughter. Like, that, you just completely forgot about her. But you etched her name into your hand. Like, AD, her initials into your hand. And if the story just stopped with that, that would have been just fine.
Well, that would have been a little too Bayonetta.
A bit Bayonetta, but at least it wouldn't have been. At least they wouldn't have this plot hole of, wait a minute, Comstock is just another version of fucking Booker. Then how come he looks like he's 30 years older than Booker? Comstock has, like, white hair and a big old beard, and Booker looks like he's in his late 40s. No, early 40s.
Evil just takes it out of you, man. I'm telling you. It's like smoking. Sometimes it kills you. Sometimes it just stays with you for the rest of your life. You never really know. So sometimes you're Handsome Jack. Sometimes you're this Comstock dude.
Sometimes. Comstock dude. Well, to be fair, Handsome Jack has a mask covering him.
Yeah, maybe he was, like, super duper decrepit.
Well, actually, if you take off his mask, you get that little vault symbol on his face. He has it etched onto his face, over his eye, too. So, by the way, if you're looking for the Cult of the Vault symbol at the very end, that's where it is. It's on his face after you take off his mask.
And we didn't figure that out until the second playthrough, which was bullshit. Because they don't just let you fight Handsome Jack again. They're just like, nope, sorry.
Sorry. Like, you can kill the Guardian, but you can't kill Handsome Jack again.
Yep.
Which is kind of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Anyways, but I'm not sure if you know the setup very well, Mark.
No, I don't know. Like, I really don't know what it is with Bioshock Infinite. Like, I really like the original Bioshock, but I just didn't take... I didn't really look at Bioshock Infinite and go, like, yes, it's back. The original team and all their magic is back. I just didn't latch on to it. And now, like, my focus is kind of squarely on Injustice at this point.
Yeah, sure. And beating Noah's ass.
And whooping Noah's monkey Rudy Poo candy ass. Yes. Yes, and I don't care. Go ahead. Tell him. Go ahead. Just say it. Just fucking say it. I'm going to annihilate Spoonie in Injustice. All right? I'm going to fucking use the Flash and run all over his ass. That's what's going to happen.
That's going to happen. There's the details may change, but the outcome will always be the same. It's like Bioshock Infinite, all right? There's always a lighthouse, a man in a city, and in every universe, there's you with the Flash beating Noah's ass.
Yeah, fuck it. Because screw it. So drive a nail into that coffin. Fuck Bioshock at this point. Noah can't beat me in a game. He can't. It hasn't happened. He's gotten like a couple of wins, but for the most part, the spoony one-hit wonder just can't consistently beat me in a fighting game. Just can't happen. So Injustice is going to come out and I'm going to buy it and I'm going to jump up, and after he gets his licks in where he's like, oh no, I got to practice. I'm going to practice and, you know, I'm going to get good with everybody, because he's one of those assholes that's like Final Destination, no items, where he's always got to have some sort of way to try and handicap you because he's just not good enough all by himself. He needs the game to handicap you a little bit too. He needs the game and his fucking brother and Oreo to be sitting in the room and he needs like magic dust and, you know, like he needs whatever he can to try and just make your gaming experience miserable, where it's like, you know, if we just played the fucking game, you'd lose. Be miserable, but at the very least, we'll have played the game. But no, he can't do that. He always needs, like, some little special caveat. Like, oh, we need to play on random. Why? And his explanation for that is, oh, well, if you play on random, it shows that you're good with every character. Motherfucker, first off, nobody is genuinely good at every single character. Everybody has a weakness somewhere. And the fact is that you choose the characters you like, and then you practice with those characters. All you're trying to do is hope that you get 2 out of 3 characters in your team that you're moderately good with, and I get 3 characters in my team that I have no idea how to fucking play. And then you win, and you fucking strut around like you're fucking wearing the bullshit Harkonnen thong, and you're like, yes, I am all that is man. When really, you are all that is bitch.
I do love you. I do love these sort of back and forth you had with Spoonie over Twitter. They happen at the most weird and inopportune times, too.
Because he'll always be up in someone's ass about, like, Mortal Kombat or King of Fighters or I am the Lord of Tekken! And that's when the Busted Wolf tweet started, where it's like, I'm never going to call you the Lord of Tekken. You're the Lord of Bullshit. You're like, don't talk to me about a game where juggling is the primary goddamn mechanic. You can't take what you know about Tekken and beat me in Soul Calibur. You can't take what you know about Tekken, the superior fighting system, and beat me in Street Fighter, or King of Fighters, or Mortal Kombat. He can't, and that's really where it came from. It's like, fuck it, man. Like, and then there was the time when it was like, okay, well, now all that this talk has been rendered, Let's fucking hash it out. King of Fighters 13 right now. And it was just landslide until he fucking found Andy Bogard's bullshit hit priority. Where Andy Bogard, who has been out of the roster for a really long time, so I just think that SNK forgot how Andy Bogard works. Andy just gets over, around, and through everything. He's like fucking Sagat. He just, and fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You know, like everything. He just cancels fucking everything. So he found Andy, got his fucking wins, and then I found a way around Andy by just staying the fuck away from him. And and then the losing continued until we just stopped playing. And we never really played again. Which
I wonder why.
Which is a shame, because I do like playing with Noah a lot. He's a very challenging opponent, but not that ridiculous type of challenging where it's like, I just don't want to fucking play because you're fighting by formula. That's something that I really do hate in fighting games. People that play so fucking much that they just fight by formula. Like, okay, and juggle, guard cancel, here, there, and everywhere, and then boom, you're dead in 10 seconds. And I'm just like, If I flipped your controller upside down, could you do the very same thing that you just did? Would you be able to do that? No. And you want to know why? It's because you could probably have done that with your eyes closed. You just practiced the same set of moves and the same set strategy So you could do it blindfolded. I could hang you over a shark tank and you could do exactly that same thing because your entire thing is based on the idea of setup, execution, finish. And if I do get that one lucky hit in, then as soon as you get me back down, you're right back to setup, execution, finish until it's over. So I like having opponents that are like more my speed of like, look, just fucking play what looks like it's happening, you know, like make sure that you're playing in a way that's like, okay, well, I'm reacting to stimuli, not I'm just going through these motions that I practiced over and over again. And that's what I like about playing with Noah, is that that's what I get. Although he is going through the motion of match starts and then he loses to me.
That's the only pattern you want him to.
Sportsmanship. That is the only pattern I want. Match starts, the spoony one loses to the engineer, hands down, every time. Oh, and it's only funny because it's true. I'll see you on April 19th. No, I think that's when fucking Injustice comes out, April 19th.
Let's see. No, it comes out 16th.
16th? Okay, I'll see you on April 16th, Noah. Or no, wait, it will be the 19th because he's going to want to take his 2 days to insert his tampon and put on his helmet. So.
Noah's got a case of butt tampons, huh?
Totally. That's just it. And it's dangerous. That's why he needs the helmet. It's real hard to throw that, to put that tampon in. Lots of screaming and just hurty feelings.
Are you going to get it on PS3 or Xbox?
I'm going to get it on Xbox because it's not like the Mortal Kombat engine is so finely tuned that an Xbox controller can't hack it. You can't play Street Fighter on a fucking Xbox controller if you want to actually get shit done. But Soul Calibur and Mortal Kombat, yeah, fucking all day long. So it'll be Xbox 360 for me.
I don't know. I always liked the PS3 controller when it came to fighting games. The D-pad just felt more accurate, I suppose, than the fucking
analog stick. It absolutely is. That the ability to throw commands with a PS3 controller, with a DualShock controller in general, has always, hands down, been better than it has been on the Xbox. The Xbox, if you try and do a complicated command like Raging Demon or Rage of the Eight Maidens in two separate games, obviously, you just can't get it done on a controller. You need a fight pad to do that. You need an arcade stick or a fight pad, but with the DualShock, it's hands down always easier. But it's Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat doesn't have ridiculously large, long chain commands that have these, you know, nanosecond openings before you drop the whole command string and then you have to start all the fuck over again. Seriously, you could drive a truck through the Mortal Kombat command system in terms of how much time you have before you can just immediately drop it. So that's why it is that I'm just going to settle for getting it on 360.
Yeah. And I think Noah was a little bit wrong when he talked about how, like, the Mortal Kombat command system was at once simple but complex because the moves didn't correlate with one another. I think it was the way he put it. Like, to throw a fireball is different from a different person's fireball command.
Yeah, there's no overlap. There's none of that overlap that you get in Tekken or anything else where they take one character and then they clone it and then holy shit, we got three characters that all have the same command string. There was a lot of diversity in like on a character to character basis, but there was also a lot of, you know, like I say it's fucking, personally I said that a Mortal Kombat engine for MK9 was kind of broken just because they were just like, wow, that's a lot of fucking invincibility out of nowhere getting knocked down, and fucking Shao Kahn was bullshit, more bullshit than he's ever been. And I really did not like the Mortal Kombat 9 engine. And that's considering the fact that I went through 200 challenges. And when I saw what was at the top of the tower, when someone posted it, I just went, that's what I'm fighting for? Fuck it, I'm trading this game in.
I will say, my only gripes with the Mortal Kombat engine is, one, I hate the guard break moveset, because it's too easy to pull off when you don't mean to do it. Like, you're trying to charge up for your ultimate, X-ray attack?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, god damn it. Way too easy for something that doesn't, it's not really worth it. Most of the times it's not worth it. Like, no. If somebody's guarding, you could always just go for a low attack. Someone's low guarding, uppercut them. It's like, what is the point of a guard break?
Well, the point of a guard break in a game like that really kind of became, you know, it was supposed to be the fallback strategy. Like, okay, I can't, this guy's defense is way too rock solid. I've got to be able to distract him long enough to guard break him and then just throw him into a world of hurt. But it just kind of became something else entirely where it's like, okay, and guard break every 30 seconds. Awesome. But that said, Mortal Kombat 9's like story mode was actually pretty fantastic.
Yeah, the story mode was great.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. The challenge tower was fucking bullshit. 200 challenges, and I was like, no. But yeah, so that's why it is that when people are like, oh, Injustice, I don't know about that game, and Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, it's like, see, I'm all about it, because now I get my DC fighting game, and they've got really cool-ass costumes and shit, and it's, like, destructible environments, and some really good voice talents in the game. Richard Epcar's coming back as a Joker. So excited about that, because he's an awesome Joker.
I forgot, what was he as the Joker before Injustice?
In Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, as it happens.
Really?
Yeah. but yeah, he, fantastic fucking Joker. And they just have a really good voice cast. And I think they got a George to come back as Superman. So I guess Tim Daly was too busy. Or maybe they just didn't want to go with the, you know, with the tried and true. They wanted to go with somebody else who doesn't get to be Superman as much.
Mm-hmm. Expand the roster a bit. Although, of course, Tim Conway can only be Batman. There can only be Tim Conway Batman.
Tim Conroy.
I always get his last name. Conway Conroy. I always get his name mixed up. It's the Elmer Fudd in me.
Oh, God. Yeah, because I'm just happy that, like, Grey Delisle is Catwoman. I'm happy for Grey Delisle in anything. I'll seriously take her reading the phone book, like, any day of the week. Which, by the way, people, Billy and Mandy is on Netflix now.
Woo! Woo! But I was thinking we're running out of steam here, so let's close this out with some comments.
All right, so once every podcast, we're going to be reading comments that we find around after episodes of Anime Abandoned get posted, which, big congratulations to Bennett. He managed to make it 50 whole episodes, most of them without me.
So. Most of them. Thanks. You know, a little masturbatory aid right there. You came in around Demon City Shinjuku, I want to say, as far as like the writing process, as far as the heavy involvement is concerned.
Yeah. So this has spawned really good conversation, actually. A lot of people debating, you know, the old Taku versus the Neo Taku about whether or not standards are slipping. Is quality a problem? Is fan service really all that bad? And one guy on That Guy with the Glasses, in the comments section, named Funky M left us this comment. Yep, Macross Plus, dedicated to future pioneers. Still, I'm looking for the next great giant robot anime, because Hot Blood shouldn't have gone out of fashion. Why in the hell is it so important to be polite in the face of monsters? Why dwell in realism and grittiness when we're talking about glorious wild abandon? When did we lose... I love this. When did we lose propensity for fun and optimism? I want fun back. I want optimism back. I want that cocky asshole who ends up somewhat likable. Hell, make a hot... make a female hot-blooded protagonist. Switch it up. I want a huge 200-foot-tall megaton machine that decimates and destroys but never leaves any lasting damage. More than this, I want anime back. The last anime I bought on DVD was Gurren Lagann, and that was maybe 2 years ago. Sure, ascending the impossible levels of the spiral of power in that show would have been a fool's errand, but dear God, there must have been something out there. Or there must be something out there. I'm sorry, I'm too tickled by this guy's comment to read it properly. And it says, bear in mind I live in the UK and haven't seen anywhere or haven't been able to get Majin Kaiser SKL on Region 2 DVD. I want the kind of show, movie or OVA that makes any other animation look like low-budget Hungarian art films. I want the next Akira, the next Ghost in the Shell. I want anime, not Japanese cartoons. I love this guy.
you got to say, like, even on a text, you could definitely tell the passion behind this.
This dude is saying exactly what it is that I've been saying for fucking ever, that Cloud Strife ruined video games. And subsequently, that means that he ruined anime, too. And my position has always been that Cloud Strife ruined video games. He came in with his mopey dopey bullshit blonde mop and million pizza shadowed glass, shadow gears, and meh. And he's just not the guy that you want to fucking have a beer with. He was this attempt at making a serious, thoughtful, deeply seated protagonist. And they just went too far. They went too deep into the seat. Which is why it is that now Cloud is a joke, and as soon as Zack showed up as a character that walks and talks and has fun, and he just comes in and he pimps in and he's like, "Boo! Hey, I'm Zack Fair. How you doing?" Then everybody was on board with that. Like, yeah, Zack is awesome. You know, everybody likes Vash because even though he's tortured, he still manages to laugh. You know, he laughs the hardest because he's hurting the most. Same thing for Spike. He laughs the hardest because he's hurting the most. You know, these sorts of things don't only extend to characters, but the whole series where everybody is fucking Sasuke. Everybody. Everybody in every series that's even remotely pretty and has a dick is Sasuke. Just sad all the fucking time. And I'm a person who's sad all the fucking time. And I'm like, come on, cheer up.
Come on, cheer the fuck up. I just want to dress up like a clown, you know, like a rakish hat rakishly to the side, really creepy paint, big old cherry red nose, and I just want to take some mopey, like some of these mopey assholes and just get right in their face, cigar chomped in my mouth, and just go, cheer the fuck up! Just kick them in the stomach.
Really,
just
and watch that's... them writhe for a little bit. And that's a tidal wave that's been happening for the last 10 years, is that it's been washing away all the fun guys like Vash, like Gene Starwind, like Zack Fair. And it's been, you know, instead leaving in its wake this destruction. Like, all the fun guys got drowned in the tidal wave of bullshit. And all that's left, the sole survivors of the civilization that is Japanese entertainment, is guys like Sasuke. Where it's like, meh. And it, I can't fucking stand that. And it happened in Gundam. And that's even worse. I think it's worse where, you know, Gundam is about the tragedy of children fighting war. And at what point did we go away from, you know, like, okay, so yes, the guys that they always get to pilot a Gundam specifically are never always the most well-balanced people. But, you know, at least in Gundam Wing, you had Duo, you had Catra. Even Troa cracked a joke.
I think Cloud was just sort of a response to that kind of hero, that kind of joking, very brash. Can be brash, can be optimistic. It could be a multitude of things. It was a response to that, and that was fine at the time. But that kind of hero cannot set the mark. That's not the kind of hero that should be like the mold for every hero to come after him. I mean, if you ask me point blank, who do you like better, Batman or Superman, as a character as a hero?
Yeah, but that's two opposite ends of the pole. You should, like, what you should be asking is, who do you like better? And then you'll say, like, Batman, and then on the opposite end of that, like, Booster Gold. Not all the way at the end of the pole, still, you know, still kind of callous, still very, like, still selfish, but still fun.
No. Like, if I was trying to go for the other end of the spectrum, I would have said Captain Marvel, the Boy Scout.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really think that Superman is, like, you know, any further away from the pole than Shazam is.
Well, but,
like, I, like, I
guess... Shazam is the word of power, not the guy, actual.
Hey, asshole, guess what? They had to drop the name Captain Marvel for legal reasons. His name is officially now Shazam. Why don't you take your dick, jam it up your ass, and then go jump up and down for a while?
No, they couldn't call his books Captain Marvel. They had to call him Shazam, but he's still Captain Marvel.
He's not still Captain Marvel.
His books can't be called Captain Marvel because of full Marvel Comics.
I'm looking it up right now.
All right. Go ahead. Captain Marvel.
I'm looking it up right now. This is not recorded. This is just an argument. Shazam! Previously known as Captain Marvel!
Shazam, previously known as Captain Marvel.
Boom, bitch! What? What are you gonna say, fat boy? What are you gonna say, Lunchbox? What?
What? I'm saying that is fucking bullshit. Said the traditional Captain Marvel painted by Alex Ross. For legal reasons, his book was had to be called Shazam. That I got. They couldn't market his books as Captain Marvel. That I got. But they had to change the character's name? Like, in continuity?
Yep. It's official. And now this is staying in. I want everyone to know your failure!
I get it. If you were wrong, you didn't want to be proven wrong. Oh. See, now your immaturity is showing.
Yes, it is. Because I'm the one who has to edit. Final edit, bitch.
See, I wouldn't have cared if I was wrong or right. I wanted this argument to be in the fucking podcast because this is going to be entertaining when we hear it later on. But no, you were so concerned about being right all the time.
Damn straight I am. Because it's part of my power.
Okay, we're getting so fucking off the rails, but the comment was a great comment, and if we had any more time, we would read more, but we are sadly out of time. I'd like to thank you all for joining us on this fourth episode of Super Tool Shed. On behalf of Mark the Engineer and myself, Ben of the Sage, take care of yourselves.